Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
On May 3rd, 1986, Melinda and I officially entered the world of parenting. Anna Maria Hampton was born on the first Saturday of May, which, by the way, it was Kentucky Derby Day, and in Kentucky, that's a holiday. That means Anna, tomorrow, is going to be 35. You did not hear that from me. That's a picture of Anna when she was born. 9 pounds, 9 ounces. As a new father who was still in shock and awe from watching her being born, I described her to the family and friends in the waiting room as having lots of skin. And she did. 5.5 years later, on November 4th, 2001, we welcomed Rachel Elizabeth Hampton into our family, and that's a picture of Rachel. And our parenting journey got even more interesting. I spent a good deal of time rocking our daughters in chairs like this, and I loved it. I love being a dad. I'm not the world's greatest dad, not by a long shot, but I always wanted to be. And I only had to convince 2 people. You may think this sounds strange, but from the time I was a little boy, being a dad that was there for my kids was very important to me. As I entered the world of pastoring and full-time ministry, I saw a lot of preachers' kids who were embittered against the church and their parents because their dad was never at home or was always under attack by complaining or emotionally unhealthy church members. And I decided early on I did not want that to be my kids. It's tough being a preacher's kid. Someone told me a long time ago, the most frequently asked questions in the church are, is the preacher gone again? How much will that cost? Why didn't we get a vote on that? Who turned the thermostat down? Who turned the music volume up? And the preacher's kid did what? But the reality is, for every parent who sits in this chair, life changes and is never again the same. A family from our church sent me some CDs of their family's favorite Christmas music this past Christmas. And one song on one of the CDs was sung by Faith Hill, and it was called A Baby Changes Everything. And it certainly does, more than we can even imagine. So today we're starting a new series called Defining Moments. Studies suggest that only 3% of life events are what would be considered highly memorable. The other 97% of life doesn't make the cut, and it just fades into the black hole of our subconscious. But the 3% that do make it are the moments that define us, direct us, and distinguish us as individuals. And having a baby, becoming a parent, would definitely be a defining moment in life. I want to talk to you honestly and straightforwardly today about some of the realities of what sitting in the parenting chair means. Don't think of this as much as a sermon, as much as a fatherly or now grandfatherly talk. There are at least 3 important things that happen in chairs like this. The first one has to do with the fears that get expressed in chairs like this. And I mean, there are real fears when you have a baby. Can I really do this? Am I ready for this? Can I actually be a dad? Can I really be a mom? Am I too young for this? Am I too old for this? And how do you do the diaper thing anyway? I heard about a story of a mom and dad who brought their first baby home, and the new mom asked the dad to change the diaper, and he said, I'll get the next one. Well, when the baby needed changing again, she goes, okay, it's your turn. The dad said, I meant the next baby. Legitimate fears get expressed in chairs like this. Is my baby going to be healthy? How are we going to afford this? Listen, that's a real fear. A few years ago, I ran across these figures that were released estimating, take a look at this, the cost of raising a kid in the U.S. from birth through age 18 is $233,610. And let me just say this to you, if you're raising girls, add another $50,000 onto that. And homecoming dresses and prom dresses, and don't even get me started on wedding cost. Actually, it's not so bad. If you break it down like this, it comes out, that number, to $12,978 a year, or $1,000, $82 a month, or $249 a week. That's a mere $35.56 a day, or just a little over $1.48 per hour, and you too can afford to have your own kid. Sometimes you got to break it down like that just to keep your sanity, right? It's expensive to raise kids. But you need to know the real cost in raising children has nothing to do with money. The popular daytime television psychologist, Dr. Phil McGraw, surveyed over 20,000 parents for his book on parenting that came out several years ago. I want you to listen to this. Out of those 20,000 parents, 40% said, if we knew then what we know now, we would not have started a family. Wow. I mean, at least they're being honest. But friends, here's the first truth about parenting that we need to embrace right up front. It requires a great deal of sacrifice to be a parent. The world no longer revolves around you as if it ever did. Being a parent requires a degree of selflessness like few other ventures in life. You got to decide ahead of time, before the shower gifts, before car seat shopping, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I'm prepared to be physically exhausted, emotionally drained, and mentally perplexed. I actually enjoy the smell of spit up on my shirt. I love conversing with people who can only say mine. And ladies, I'm not talking about your husband. I will learn to love Happy Meals, Paw Patrol, and Minecraft. I will accept the reality that nothing in this world is actually stain proof. I'm ready to lower my financial expectations and lower my standard of living. And I will put my macho ego on the shelf and I will drive a minivan for the next 10 years. I'm willing to give up a huge chunk of my freedom, and I'm completely ready to pour my life into another human being. So that little boy or that little girl will know they're unconditionally loved, totally accepted, and completely wanted in my life. Listen, sitting in this chair is high stakes stuff, friends. Make no mistake about it. You got to know the cost. Here's the reality. Not everybody feels a calling to be a parent. I have felt that's been a real high calling in my life, and I wouldn't want it any other way. But maybe God's calling on your life is very different. Many of you are single, or you're married without kids, and you're spending your days in extremely significant ways. You're pouring your life into all kinds of different ministries. You're serving people. You're giving of yourself in wonderful ways to help people. Some of you at Lake County and here at Apopka, you're pouring your life into other people's kids. You've become a vital support system for other people, especially single moms. You're an answer to prayer. Maybe you're an aunt or an uncle, and you love spending time with your nieces or nephews. One uncle said playing with his brother's kids was like shaking up a can of soda pop and handing it to someone else to open. Say, here you go. Good luck with that. Hey, listen. Maybe you're a small group leader here at Journey Kids or a student ministry, and you're able to reinforce the values the parents are trying to instill without the emotional heaviness or flat-out guilt that parents often insert into conversations with their kids. You can talk with them like their parents can't. Good on you if that's what you're doing. But if you're going to sit in the parenting chair, you need to come to grip with the reality of what that entails. And you need to get honest with yourself and with your spouse, and you need to get really, really honest before God. And sometimes you sit in a chair like this, you express your fears. And when you do, you know what I've learned? God shows up. He really does. When Melinda told me that the home pregnancy test was positive back in the fall of 1985, I was so excited and I was so scared at the same time. That's a picture of me and Anna. I was a skinny 22-year-old guy, lots of dark brown hair, little lame Tom Selleck wannabe mustache. Some of you say, who's Tom Selleck? We have very little money. We lived in Clinton, Mississippi at the time. That's just outside of Jackson, Mississippi. It's a 13-hour drive away from both our extended families. I did not know how we were going to pull this thing off. But I found as I sat in this chair, night after night, year after year, honestly expressing my fears and my inadequacies as a dad, Jesus met me here. And this scripture became one of my life verses early on. It's from a letter Peter wrote. Would you read it with me? Let's read it out loud together. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I love that verse. It is wonderful to watch what happens when the Holy Spirit displaces worry at the center of your life, to see God settle your heart and give you a peace that transcends human understanding, to provide you wisdom beyond your own capacities, to give you strength that surpasses your physical limits, to give you courage to face your fears and move against them. Friends, all that happens in chairs like this when you honestly express your fears and embrace the sacrifice. Here's a second thing that happens in chairs like this. A lot of dreams get birthed in chairs like this. A lot of wondering, a lot of hoping takes place here. What's she gonna be like? Is she gonna look like her mom? Is he gonna be tall like his grandpa? Are they gonna be athletic? Are they gonna be so smart they just skip middle school and high school and go right to college like young Sheldon? Are they going to be musical? What are they going to grow up to be? What are they going to do with their one and only life? You ever been around those parenting conversations when the kids are real little and one parent starts to brag on their kid? You know what I'm talking about? It's just kind of funny to listen to those conversations. You hear mom says, you know, my Susie was walking at 8 months. Another mom will go, took her that long, did it? Or there's a little guy who can throw a ball with both hands and a dad will say, Nick Saban called yesterday about little Bobby. Dan Mullen's coming in next week for a home visit. Or one parent will say, my kid can say the alphabet already. And another parent will say, only in one language. I mean, there's just all this crazy comparison, competitive stuff that goes on with our kids. And it just continues to escalate throughout the rest of their life. Friends, let me just say this. When your kids are small and when your kids are big, let them be them. I mean, dream dreams with them. Dream dreams for them. But your kids have got their own unique personality. They got their own unique gifts. God's wired them in a different way. Listen, they are not you. And thank God for that. Let them be them. Dream about what God wants them to be. If you've got a little extroverted, take charge leader, help her shape that unique gift in her life. If you've got a little introverted Lego engineer, help him shape that unique gift in his life. But let them dream their dreams instead of their life being all about your dreams. It's hard enough being a kid trying to figure out your own dreams. I got to tell you, it's toxic when they have to live out your dreams too, parents. Let them dream their dreams. And as they're dreaming, would you be sure to teach them this? Success in life is not so much wrapped up in what they do, but in who they become. We need to teach them that success is much more about who they become as a person rather than what their grade point average is, or how many touchdowns they score, or or how many likes they get on their social media post, or what kind of school they might get into, or how much money they might make. It's about who they're becoming. Back when the Apple iPods first came out, my youngest daughter, Rachel, she really wanted one, and those things were expensive at the time. Now you can buy them for $22 on Amazon. I told her, I said, well, Rachel, you save up your money and you can get one. And she did. Rachel, our youngest, was always good about that. If she had a goal, she'd save up for it. So she saved her birthday money and her Christmas money, and she bought a special edition red iPod. And if you buy it at the Apple store online, they inscribe it for you. And she said, Dad, what should I put on it? And I said, put Rachel Hampton's red hot iPod on it. And she did. And one night I was taking her to her, she's in middle school, and I was taking her to her small group leader's house. And she was listening to music on her iPod, and she was just really into it. I mean, she's bopping along and with her earbuds in, and I just watched her. I get a kick out of watching my kids when they don't know I'm watching them. I mean, I think every parent does. And I really get a kick out of embarrassing my kids. I mean, why have them if you can't embarrass them, right? So I watched her for a little while, and I tapped her on the arm, and she pulled her earbud out, and I said, Rachel, does your iPod make you happy? And she looked at me sideways, and she said, is that like one of your trick preacher questions? And I laughed, and I said, no, I'm just wondering if it's what you thought it was going to be. And she said, in that case, yes. Yes, it does make me happy. Now, why did she answer that way? Because I told our girls so many times, girls, stuff won't make you happy. Other people can't make you happy. The right job or fitting in the right size jeans or right whatever won't make you happy. Listen, if you need what's next to make you happy, no matter what next is, then you're never going to be happy. Only you can make the choice to be happy in your life. And listen to me, it doesn't have anything to do with external factors. It has everything to do with your internal belief system and your attitude, because who you become is more important than what you have or what you do. Let me give you a couple of great scriptural truths on this point. One's from the New Testament and one's from the Old Testament. John writes this. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Man, every parent I know would echo that if you're a believer in Christ. You have no greater joy than to hear your parent or your children walk in truth, or your parents. Proverbs chapter 3 says this, my child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart, for they will give you a long and satisfying life. Never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. You wear them like a necklace. Write them deep within your heart. Then you'll have favor with both God and people, and you'll get a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path. That's what I dreamed. That's what I prayed for my daughters. Not so much about what they would end up doing with their life, but that they would walk in truth, that they would trust in God with all their heart and allow him to direct their paths. And if you do that, then you're a success regardless of your circumstances. Dreams get dreamed in this chair. Fears get expressed in this chair. Here's a final reality about a chair like this. A lot of nurturing takes place in this chair. I enjoyed that about this chair. I loved cuddling, rocking, singing, playing, tickling, reading stories to my kids. I mean, you get through the stories and they say, read it again, Daddy, read it again. And you read it again, and this time you skip a few pages because you had a long day and you're really tired. And they say, it doesn't go like that, Daddy. And you got a little barnyard things where you teach them how all the animals sound. The cow goes moo. And you're going to make weird noises and nobody thinks you're weird. Can I tell you, I'm doing that all over again with my grandsons now. Oh, we're back. That's a picture of me and my grandsons. That's Hampton and this is Davis and that's Bryant just from a few days ago. I love it. You know, there are so many great new books out now that I've never read before. There's a great series of books out about a pigeon who's always asking for things and never gets what he wants. They're hilarious. I love reading those books to my grandsons. But I want to tell you, the greatest kids book to come along lately, in my opinion, is titled The Wonky Donkey. I mean, it just makes me smile with that title. Can I read you just a little bit of this? I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw, he had only three legs. He was a wonky donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw, he only had three legs and one eye. He was a winky wonky donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw, he had only three legs, one eye, and he liked to listen to country music. Hee-haw, he was a honky-tonky winky wonky donkey. Can I read you one more? What? Just one more. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey. Hee-haw. He had only three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He was quite tall and slim. He was a lanky, honky, tonky, winky, wonky donkey. I mean, that's just priceless. Love it. I know this is going to sound simplistic. I'm going to say it anyways. For nurturing to take place, you got to be in this chair. You got to be here. You got to show up. You got to report for duty every day. Mark Batterson says it like this: I want to be famous in my home, but it's tough to be famous in your home if you're never home. I like what one kid wrote. He said, a dad is someone who will play with you even though he has friends his own age to play with. Can your son or daughter say that about you, dads? I read about one man who was working for a company that had him traveling all over the place, and this was in the days before COVID, obviously. He was rarely at home. He had small kids at home at the time. He later admitted to his pastor, he said, you know, the thing was, I liked it. I was energized by my work. I'm good at my work. There's an adrenaline rush for the business stuff I'm doing. I really loved advancing in the company. And then on one of those rare days, he got to stay home. And he had his three-year-old son on his lap in a chair like this. And his three-year-old son looked up at him and said, Daddy, when do you have to go home? He said he walked into his office the next day and he resigned. But he was so valuable to his company that they found another job that would let him quit traveling and stay home more. He had to take a pay cut to do it. But he said he knew that's what he needed to do and he hadn't looked back. Can I tell you something? The older I get, I find I'm drawn more to those who live well than to those who live large. And there's a difference. Let me ask you a question. What really matters to you? Whether you have a 3,000 square feet of living space or whether the people living inside are close to each other. What does it matter if you've got a manicured lawn and nobody ever is there to play on it? What's it matter if you have plush Stainmaster carpet but no one's ever there to wrestle on it? What's it matter how comfortable the couch is if nobody ever cuddles on it? What's it matter if you've got the latest and greatest 5G wireless or high-speed internet connection and nobody ever connects to each other? To do this job well, you got to be in this chair. I'm telling you, you line kids up and ask them if they'd rather have a dream house or a dream home, they'll take the dream home hands down every single time. A home with an atmosphere of love and fun and listening and wrestling and good-natured teasing and singing and laughter. A home with clear limits and realistic expectations and reasonable loving boundaries. I know how frustrating it can be when you got a bunch of little kids running around the house for hours. It's hard to discipline consistently, parents. Sometimes you just feel like throwing up your hands and going into your room and closing the door and hiding in the closet. And sometimes you can't even do that. True story, my grandsons recently locked my daughter and her husband out of their bedroom. They had to call a locksmith to get in. True story. I mean, sometimes, listen, you got a five-year-old kid upstairs and he lets out a blood-curdling scream and he says, Mom, he pulled my hair. And you go, he's just two. He doesn't know how that feels. And then a few seconds later, you hear another scream. The five-year-old says, he does now. And it just goes on and on. I mean, they're whining all the time. They're picking on each other. And They're telling you, Mom, he did this, and Mom, he did that. And then you say something real mature, like, if you don't stop tatting on your brother, I'm going to tell your father. It's tough to have consistent discipline in your home. Look at what Proverbs 19:18 says. It says, discipline your children while they're young enough to learn. If you don't, you're helping them destroy themselves. You want to destroy your kids? Don't discipline. Let them do whatever they want. And you'll watch over the years as they slowly self-destruct and they'll rip your heart out. Look what it says in Proverbs 10:17. People who accept correction are on the pathway to life. Disciplining kids is not about you powering up over them. It's really not about you. It's about helping them get on the pathway to real and eternal life. Mike Bro is a pastor who now lives in California. He used to minister in Lexington, Kentucky, and Mike and I were in Lexington at the same time together, and Mike's such a great communicator. He said when his three kids, Derek, Jody, and Drew, were little, sometimes they would argue and sometimes they would pick on each other and they'd push each other around and call each other names. And one day, Bro said, I just got sick of it. And he took him to this big picture window in the living room where they were fighting. And he said, come here, you guys. He said, I want you to look out there. Do you see out there? Now, out there, people are going to cut you down. Out there, they're going to call you names. Out there, they're going to treat you bad. Out there, they're going to do things to you you never would dream they would do. Out there, that's going to happen. But on this side of the window, we're going to treat each other with respect. We're going to talk nice to each other. We're not going to call each other names. We're going to honor each other and love each other on this side of the window. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And there was a long pause, and one brother turned to the other and said, so you want to go outside and fight? Mike shook his head. He said, boys, you're missing the point here. Listen, with consistent discipline and limits for your kids, here's what can happen. Good discipline changes the performance without damaging the person. John Wooden was the legendary basketball coach for UCLA for many years, won 10 national titles, 7 in a row. Many people ask him how he did such a great job with his players. He would simply say this. This is a great word for parents. He said, I just try to catch him doing something right. I want to catch him doing something right instead of always picking him apart. Coach Wooden taught his players that whenever they made a basket, to always point to the person who passed them the ball and acknowledge the person that passed them the ball. And one of his players said to him one time, but coach, what if they aren't looking? And Coach Wooden said, oh, they'll always be looking. All people, big people, little people, are always looking for some positive affirmation. Heard about a young boy that brought home a paper from school and he wanted his dad to read it. And the boy was so proud of it because he got a good grade. And he gave it to his father and his dad quickly scanned the page, nodded his head and handed it back. After reading it, the man's wife pulled him aside. She said to him, his eyes watched your eyes the whole time you read his paper. Kids just want to know, am I okay? Am I good? You need to build a nurturing environment with your kids, especially when they're little, but continue it through the teenage years. Nurturing involves discipline, but it also involves trying to catch him doing something good, not just being critical all the time. You lay a foundation of praise by saying things like, thank you for putting your toys away without being told. You hit the potty again. Way to go. You're getting better at that every day. That's the most beautiful painting I've ever seen in my life. I never did that well when I was your age. The way you handled that situation was awesome. I love to hear you laugh. You know what? You don't scare me as much anymore when you drive. But the greatest parenting we might ever do comes when we think nobody's looking. There's a famous writing called When You Thought I Wasn't Looking that goes like this. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I immediately wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I learned that the little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer, and I knew that there is a God I could always talk to, and I learned to trust him. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who was sick, and I learned we have to help take care of each other. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of our house and everyone in it, and I learned we have to take care of what we're given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw how you handled your responsibilities, even when you didn't feel good, and I learned I'd have to be responsible when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's okay to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I learned most of life's lessons that I need to know to be a good and productive person when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked at you and wanted to say, thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. Do you join me in prayer? Would you stand with me? Stand together. Lake County, let's stand together. So, Father, I just thank you for a moment to reflect as a parent, as a grandparent. We see these parents on the stage today for a baby dedication. For some of them, it's the first time they're a parent. For some of them, it's a second or third child or more. Lord, it is a blessing that you give us when you give us kids. And they're messy, and they're imperfect, and they're costly, and it changes our lives, and it is one of the greatest defining moments that we have as people. And I want to say a word of thanks to the people in this room in Lake County or maybe online. They don't have children, but they're pouring and investing into children. They're teachers. They're group leaders. They're aunts and uncles. God, thank you for those people. Thank you for how they give a special love to our children. I'm so grateful. Most of all, thank you for a church family. It takes a church family to raise godly kids. And I thank you that we have one at Journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week. So make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.